and welcome along to this week's assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and Mark Langdon and Dan Childs are enjoying a well-deserved week off. So I've been joined this week by James Milton and Tom McGarry to look ahead to the Premier League and EFL action at the weekend. After 2 weeks without any Premier League football, it's like London buses. We're now looking forward to a second full round of matches this weekend. Just a quick reflection on the midweek action that we've seen, and we're recording this prior to the Chelsea-Tottenham clash. Milton, anything stand out for you in particular in terms of the midweek fixtures?
Yeah, I think just seeing Nottingham Forest kind of grind it out again against Manchester United, you know, really, really impressive. Bearing in mind they had extra time and penalties in that FA Cup quarter-final win at Brighton, you know, looking at their defensive record recently, clean sheets obviously against Brighton, United, Manchester City and Arsenal. And yeah, no signs that the excitement of being in the Champions League qualification race is getting to them. So very impressive.
At the bottom end of the table, it was a very surprise win for Ipswich, Tom, which just about keeps things alive in terms of the relegation battle.
Yeah, just about. I think after Wolves won the day before, there was maybe a bit of doom and gloom going into that game for Ipswich and Leicester and Southampton, of course, as well. But Ipswich, really impressive to, you know, hold out and hang on for that victory against a good Bournemouth side. Yeah, it's a real shot in the arm for Kieran McKenna's team. It may be too little, too late in regard to surviving, but at least if Ipswich can make a fist of it, that can only be good for them and the division as a whole.
Yeah, we will look ahead to their big game with Wolves pretty shortly, but we'll start off with the big match of the weekend in terms of the Premier League, and it is the Manchester derby at Old Trafford on Sunday. Manchester United against Manchester City with a 4:30 kickoff time. United 23-10 to claim the victory here. It's 11-10 Manchester City and 13-5 the draw. James, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, you've already mentioned there United slipping up against Nottingham Forest in midweek. Hard to sort of gauge where City are after their latest win, bearing in mind that Leicester have been so poor.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it is a big match because these two teams are obviously huge. But yeah, you look at it and you hard to remember a Manchester derby with so little riding on it, really. But as you said about United, I mean, it must be so frustrating for their fans. They're just familiar failings, aren't they? I mean, they conceded early against Forest, had tons of possession, plenty of shots, but no real threat until Harry Maguire was thrown on as an emergency striker late on. And, you know, given the money they've spent on potentially solving their striking issues, that's a massive concern. And I think City, for all the doubts over them, and obviously Erling Haaland being sidelined, I think they appeal actually at odds against in this one, you know, mainly due to the negatives around United, that lack of cutting edge up front. You know, they've struggled at home all season. A record against teams above them in the league, which obviously is quite a few teams, is absolutely appalling. I mean, they've won 4 of 18. Those victories were a couple of scrappy 1-0 wins against Fulham, 2-1 at home to Brentford when they had to come from behind, and obviously the reverse fixture at City when they scored, I think, 88th minute and 90th minute to turn it around and win 2-1. So I think City, you know, despite the absence of Haaland, plenty of attacking quality, you know, De Bruyne, Silva, Phil Foden, all unused substitutes against Leicester. I think they can claim a memorable victory in what's been a forgettable season.
Yeah, I mean, it looks to me, Tom, and probably everybody else, as though United seems to have all their eggs in the Europa League basket ahead of this clash. But, you know, you look at the form that they're showing in patches, and then it just continues to just go backwards. You know, maybe taking two steps forward and four steps back. It must be a real concern for Amorim. He's probably thinking, I'm going to have to try and play my best team at every given opportunity. But of course, he has to have that Europa League in his mind.
Yeah, it's a difficult conundrum for Ruben Amorim, isn't it? It's the Manchester derby, so United have to go full throttle in that. But arguably, the bigger game comes a few days after that, the first leg of their Europa League quarter-final away to Lyon. So it will be interesting to see how United play it. They got that victory, as James mentioned, in the reverse fixture in, you know, fortuitous fashion, really, in the end. And he also alluded to how poor United have been against sides above them in the table. I didn't realise until looking back the highest position team that they've beaten on home soil this season in the league was Fulham, who were in ninth. So it just underlines their poor form, particularly at Old Trafford. And yeah, odds against it, it's really difficult to side against City. They're not firing on all cylinders by no manner of means at this moment in time, but they're starting to grind out victories. We saw it in the FA Cup against Bournemouth, a routine win against Leicester in the week as well, where they could rotate players even without Erling Haaland. There's arguably more fluidity to their attacking line, whoever they go with at the weekend. So for me, City to win stands out as the bet. They are a better team than Manchester United. The table says that. And yeah, I can only see that game going one way.
I mean, I've heard a couple of people, Milt, suggest that the actual Haaland injury might do City a bit of a favour, because Marmoush has certainly hit the ground running since he's arrived, and maybe City are playing a little bit more to his style of football rather than Haaland's.
I think it's kind of been a debate that's never really gone away, has it? I know certainly when Haaland was signed, you know, he scored bundles of goals, but you still got the sense that Pep would rather play with a kind of false nine or you know, another system. And yeah, I think Marmoush, you know, obviously had a fantastic first half of the season in the Bundesliga, and he's settled in really nicely at City. And yeah, I think they've got the attacking quality to really trouble United, who, as we've mentioned, are looking pretty toothless up front themselves.
Just before we get both James and Tom's confirmed tips for the big match, just a quick word from you, Tom, on City as well. I mean, Jack Grealish was amongst the goals against Leicester in midweek. His form and his fitness has probably been one of the main reasons, or one of the key reasons, why City haven't hit the heights this year.
Yeah, it's been well documented, hasn't it? It's been a struggle for Jack Grealish, and one or two mutterings that he could leave the club in search of more regular first-team football at the end of the campaign. But scoring as he did on Wednesday night, that will boost his confidence. I doubt whether he'll be in the starting lineup for this game, with the likes of Phil Foden likely to return. But as we mentioned earlier on, City have a wealth of attacking talent, even without Erling Haaland. So I think whoever lines up will hurt Manchester United's back line on Sunday. And, you know, City, the goal for them between now and the end of the season is to win the FA Cup and qualify for the Champions League. I certainly think they can do the latter of those. And yeah, I think they'll start on the right track by beating United.
Okay, James. So your best bet then for Sunday's clash. Were you surprised, should we say, to see that City are odds against?
Not entirely. I think, you know, I don't think they're worth sort of maximum bet, but I think they definitely make some appeal. The other one I'd consider is maybe City to win 2-0. You know, United, we've talked about their attacking problems, and they failed to score in five of their seven home defeats. But no, I'm going to keep it simple. City to win the match.
And you, Tom?
Yeah, I'd agree. And along similar lines, I don't think this will necessarily be a classic Manchester derby, but City maybe to grind it out by a couple of goals.
OK, we're going to turn our attentions now to the rest of the Premier League fixtures, and we'll start off in chronological order with the early kickoff on Saturday. It takes place at Goodison Park, where Everton play host to Arsenal at 12:30. Everton 5-1 to win this game. It's 23-10 the draw, and 7-10 for Arsenal. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. Just looking at Everton's form, and we all know, you know, the significant upturn since David Moyes has taken charge, but they have now collected just 4 points from the last five league games after that Merseyside derby defeat at the weekend. How do you see them faring in this?
Yeah, they're difficult to beat, Everton, but they don't win a lot of games either. They've been really grinding the points out. Even against Liverpool, when they lost in the week, they made it very difficult for Arne Slot's side. And I probably imagine this game will pan out in a similar fashion. Everton will be dogged. They'll keep things tight. They'll try and frustrate and unsettle Arsenal. But Arsenal got their win in the week against Fulham. Bukayo Saka coming off the bench, returning, scoring. That's a huge boost for them. And although this will be a bit of a scrap for them, I think they probably should have just about enough quality to edge what I'm imagining will be a low-scoring game. To caveat that slightly, Arsenal do have a pretty poor recent record at Goodison. They won at last season's meeting 1-0, but that's their only victory in their last six visits to the blue side of Merseyside. This, of course, their last visit to Goodison. I think it'll be difficult for Mikel Arteta's side. Maybe not a classic, but one they can just about get over the line in.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the only team, Milter, Arsenal, to gladly see the back of Goodison Park, bearing in mind recent results there as well. But have Arsenal got to that stage of the season now where it's almost, you know, they just have to go for it and that's maybe working in their favour?
I'm not sure. I think Arteta is going to be pretty pragmatic with this one, with the Champions League game against Real Madrid coming up. You know, the title's gone. The top four is pretty much guaranteed. I think there are enough negatives about Arsenal in this fixture to back the draw. You know, before that narrow defeat at Anfield, Everton had drawn five of their previous six in the league. You know, mm-hmm. Tom's mentioned how difficult they are to beat. I just think, you know, with Arsenal, you look at that record at Goodison, which is so poor. You know, the defensive injury problems, the at least one eye on the Real Madrid clash. I think they're probably worth opposing. You know, Saka returned to action, which was fantastic for Arsenal. But I'd be surprised if he started at Goodison. You know, particularly given James Tarkowski's tackling on Wednesday night. I don't think Mikel Arteta is going to be risking too many of his big guns. So yeah, I think the draw looks an appealing bet in this one.
Okay, well, let's move on to the 3 o'clock games in the Premier League. And we'll start off with the derby that isn't a derby and no love lost between Crystal Palace and Brighton as they prepare to do battle at Selhurst Park. Palace 27-20, Brighton 9-5, and the draw is around 13-5. James, just a quick word on Palace, I suppose. I mean, massive win for them in the FA Cup against Fulham, and I think that possibly midweek draw against Southampton probably ruined quite a few people's coupons.
Yeah, I think so. You know, they've been so good away from home before that, haven't they? Sort of racking up these victories to nil. I think they can be forgiven for that. You know, it was a terrific effort at Fulham in the Cup. And yeah, a little bit of a hangover there. But, you know, this fixture is one that Selhurst Park will be absolutely rocking for. Just looking at the kind of head-to-heads, I think if you bat the one-all correct score in this game over recent years, you're probably sunning yourself on a private island somewhere. but I think this one could be a bit more open, actually. I like the look of over 3.5 goals. Palace have scored at least twice in 8 of their last 12 matches, includes a 4-1 home win over Aston Villa, who obviously put 3 goals past Brighton in midweek. So, yeah, Brighton, it's still quite hard to trust. I think, you know, they had that 7-0 defeat at Nottingham Forest not too long ago. But, you know, plenty of attacking quality and Palace playing with real confidence as well after a slow start to the season. They're really impressive recently.
Yeah, if we thought that the draw between Palace and Southampton was a surprise result, Tom, and suggest that a 3-0 home defeat to Villa is probably a bit of a surprise for Brighton as well, considering their recent form. How do you see this one going?
Well, I'm slightly lured in by the prospect of getting a nice island somewhere to sun myself because I'm quite attracted by the draw. I mean, Milt's mentioned there the 1-1. It's staggering, really, when you look back. 6 of the last 11 meetings have finished 1-1, and that includes the last 5 at Selhurst Park. So there's a correct score bet potentially there as well. But I do think the draw does appeal in this game. I think both sides had different kinds of hangovers in the week, didn't they, from their FA Cup exploits. Brighton, the disappointment of losing on penalties to Nottingham Forest. I think they were a little unfortunate, certainly, to lose as heavily as they did against Aston Villa on Wednesday. They had a goal disallowed at 1-0 for a handball. If that goes for them, then potentially it could be a different result. But, yeah, disappointing nonetheless. And hindsight's a wonderful thing. I think we probably should have expected Palace to have a little bit of a drop-off against Southampton. Still a surprise that they didn't pick up the victory and needed a late goal to salvage a point. But yeah, not too much of a surprise. And 1-1, the scoreline again popping up. But yeah, I can see this one playing out in a draw. Palace pretty settled in mid-table. It'll be really difficult for them to push on and challenge for the European places via the league. For Brighton, it's more important for them, but do they have enough to lift themselves after a couple of disappointing results? I'm not so sure. They might have to settle for a point.
If it does finish 1-1, we may not see Tom O'Gary ever again on the assist. We shall see whether that is the case. Let's head to Portman Road next. Ipswich against Wolves, also at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Ipswich 17-10, the draw 9-4, and it's 13-8 for Wolves. Just as you mentioned before, Tom, as we thought that Wolves were getting clear of the relegation zone, that big win for Ipswich against Bournemouth gives them some hope. This game looks huge. If they are going to have any chance of survival, you'd expect they've got to win this game.
Well, yeah, when I was doing my research last night ahead of this fixture, I was putting Wolves to win down in thicker felt tip, but maybe just pulling back on that slightly after what Ipswich produced on Wednesday night. It was a really good performance from Kieran McKenna's side, quite a savvy performance on the road as well. Ipswich have been better, though, away from home than at Portman Road, and the fact that this game is back on their own patch maybe actually goes against them heading into this game. Just one home win all season. They've lost 10 of their 15 league matches at Portman Road. And for all the positivity of the result on Wednesday, Wolves also won in the week. Wolves are in better form than Ipswich. The table tells us Wolves are a better team than Ipswich. So I do still think, despite that victory, it's hard to look beyond Wolves at odds against winning this game. They've coped without Matias Cunha. Jorgen Strand Larsen in particular has stepped up to the plate, and they've got a couple of away wins of their own, Wolves, over recent weeks at Bournemouth, at Southampton. I think they'll add another one in this game.
Well, it seems to have been that Wolves' season, James, has been surrounding Matias Cunha all of the time because, you know, his form has pretty much got them out of the bottom three. There's been talk about him staying, then leaving. And then we've seen this suspension, of course, impact as well following the sending off in the FA Cup. Can Ipswich take advantage?
Yeah, I mean, Cunha was involved in that bust-up after the reverse fixture at Molineux as well. And I don't know, I think his absence might almost be a blessing in disguise, but given the reception he'd have got at Portman Road, I think if Wolves can keep their cool and kind of box clever here, you know, all the onus is on Ipswich to take 3 points. You know, as Tom mentioned, you know, great win for Ipswich in midweek, but, you know, they didn't actually make up any ground on Wolves because Wolves had already got the job done against West Ham the night before. So, you know, there is going to be huge pressure on Ipswich. And yeah, their home record just doesn't fill me with confidence. You know, as Tom said, lost 10 of 15. Their last three at home, lost to Boston Club Southampton, and then conceded 8 goals in defeat to Tottenham and Forest. I think if Wolves, you know, play a patient game here, I think they're going to get chances as Ipswich get more desperate. And yeah, I mean, there's a fairly hefty gap between the clubs in the table, and I think that may well be reflected in the scoreline.
Okay, the third and final 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday pretty much sums up some of the Premier League at the moment of how unpredictable it is as West Ham take on Bournemouth. The Hammers 2-1 to claim the victory. It's 5-4 Bournemouth and 12-5 the draw. Are the wheels falling off for Bournemouth, and is that European dream going to fizzle out, James?
It seems to have been a very streaky side kind of during the whole time under Iraola. I feel like kind of every time the Racing Post does a feature about how brilliant Bournemouth are, they then go and lose kind of 5 or 6 on the spin. You know, most of these recent results have been in tight games, haven't they? You know, like the FA Cup defeat to City where they led at half-time. You know, Ipswich scored with their only 2 shots on target in the midweek game. So it's a really trappy one, this. But I quite like the look of a Bournemouth 2-1 correct score. You know, West Ham, the goals have just dried up at both ends of the pitch, really, since Graham Potter came in. You know, they were leaking goals before his arrival, but it's really worrying how limp they look in attack. And yeah, I think you know, Bournemouth probably short enough in the match betting, but yeah, have a little play in the correct score market. 2-1 win for the Cherries.
There were some good signs for West Ham, Tom, when Graham Potter took over in the first couple of weeks. You could see real sort of signs of improvement, even though necessarily that the results weren't going their way. I'd suggest that's kind of ground to a halt a little bit in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, West Ham, not the only side, are they, in that bottom half of the table? They're well clear of the relegation zone, not going to finish in the top half, so don't have an awful lot to play for, and that they're very much in the territory of their season fizzling out. I think we've seen that in their recent results and performances. I found this one quite hard to predict, given that for West Ham and Bournemouth's recent struggles. So I sided more for the goals market. Milt mentioned West Ham haven't scored that many of late, but Bournemouth's matches do tend to provide plenty of entertainment. Eight of their last 10 league games have gone over 2.5 goals. They haven't had a clean sheet in 8 in the league, the Cherries. So I think it's set up to be quite open and entertaining. You probably would side with Bournemouth if I was going to go for a winner. I'd lean towards the away success. It might actually help Bournemouth, given their recent struggles to be playing away from home. But yeah, I'd be looking at over 2.5 goals in the match, the majority of those perhaps coming from Bournemouth.
Okay, we'll move on to the 5:30 game now on Saturday. And I have to say, for those disgruntled Villa and Forest fans, this was very close to being a big match of the week, I have to say, because certainly you would argue there's more riding on this than the Manchester derby. Villa are evens to claim the victory, Forest 13-5 and the draw 5-2. Again, two teams who have kind of at times been hard to predict this season, Tom, and I know a couple of them been hit by, you know, injury problems to key players at certain stages this season. We're waiting to see whether Chris Wood may be or may not be able to play for Nottingham Forest at Villa Park. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, it's set up to be a really good, intriguing contest, isn't it? A bit of a tactical battle. Both sides in really good form. Villa 6 wins in a row across all competitions. Forest unbeaten in 6. Again, it's hard to call a winner, isn't it? Nottingham Forest have executed their game plan over recent weeks to perfection against Brighton in the FA Cup and against Manchester United, sitting back, soaking up possession and threat and then breaking on the counter-attack. I think they'll go with a similar approach in this game. They'll look to nullify the Aston Villa threat. So I'm looking at under 2.5 goals in the game, which is odds against. I think that provides pretty decent value. Forest will look to keep things tight. They'll look to frustrate Villa. I think they'll be looking for a 0-0. That'd be a decent result for them. Certainly a clean sheet would be a huge positive. It'll keep a buffer between themselves and the chasing pack. Villa are in form. They are confident, so they are capable of scoring in this game. Marcus Rashford, Marco Asensio, both hitting form, both impressing since moving to Villa Park in January. But I think it'll be low scoring, 1 or 2 goals maximum. So an intriguing battle. I think it'll be an enjoyable watch, but maybe not one filled with goals.
Milt, there was a few eyebrows raised when John Duran was allowed to leave by Villa in January, and then when they brought in Rashford on loan and Asensio as well. But it's now starting Unai Emre to get the best out of those two.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, another January signing, Daniel Malen, scored the third goal there. So all three of the goals at Brighton were from the new boys. So yeah, it's worked out well for Villa. I mean, you know, they produced that excellent away performance at Brighton. Yeah, probably slightly flattered by the scoreline, but I think they could be on the end of a good away performance from Forest, who just really well set up for away games. You know, only Liverpool have won more matches on the road than Forest this season, and yeah, I like the look of Forest with the draw no bet. I think, as Tom says, there's not going to be a huge number of goals, and just scratching the surface of that Villa 6-match winning streak. You know, they had 2 wins against Club Brugge in the Champions League, 2 FA Cup wins against Championship sides Cardiff and Preston. So, you know, they've not been playing teams of the calibre of Forest on a regular basis. I just think Forest looks so hard to beat. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show these clean sheets they've kept against Arsenal, City, Manchester United and Brighton in the Cup. And, yeah, I think they're going to make it really tough for Villa at Villa Park. And, of course, Villa have got the trip to Paris Saint-Germain coming up on Wednesday as well. So, you know, that's bound to be in Unai Emery's mind.
Well, there's no fewer than 4 games in the Premier League to look forward to on Sunday. We've already, of course, looked at the Manchester derby in the late game. There are 3 2:00 kickoffs, and we'll start off with a game at the GTEC Community Stadium where Brentford play host to Chelsea. The Bees are 21-10, Chelsea 23-20, and the draw 13-5. From the bits of highlights that I saw of Brentford's defeat at Newcastle, Milts are a little bit unlucky to lose that game in the end, and a dangerous opponent for Chelsea.
I think so. I mean, you know, they've won the previous 5 away games, haven't they? And yeah, they certainly seem to compete well at Newcastle. I think Sandro Tonali admitted that his winner was was a bit of a fluke. I think he's had 70% cross, 30% shot. So I think the Bees can count themselves a bit unfortunate. I think they're worth a bet at a decent price here, actually. You know, we're talking before Chelsea's game with Tottenham on Thursday. So a bit of a quick turnaround for Chelsea. And Brentford have had a tough run of fixtures at home. They've played five of the top seven, I think, since the turn of the year. And, you know, results have reflected that. But they've not been outclassed in these kind of defeats. You know, unlucky to lose against Tottenham and Villa. And they're a side who scores goals. And I think, as a punter, you know, you're happy to take a chance at a decent price on a team with some really, really quality attacking players.
And we mentioned before, Tom, we're recording this before Chelsea's game with Tottenham on Thursday, but there just seems to be a bit of a bad atmosphere around the Blues at the moment. And I'd suggest that the pressure is building and building all the time on Enzo Maresca.
Yeah, quite possibly. Although I am looking at this the other way. I actually think Chelsea can win this game. That, you know, the results of late on the road in particular haven't been great, but neither has Brentford's form at home. And if you look at recent meetings between these two sides, it tends to favour the away team. The away side has only lost one of the seven Premier League clashes between these two sides. So I have a sneaky suspicion I might end up with egg on my face. I mean, Chelsea could lose to Tottenham heavily this evening and be in a really bad place. But I just feel that with the likes of Cole Palmer coming back to fitness, refreshed after that break over the international period, Noni Madueke, Nicholas Jackson could both feature in this game as well. One or two of the big hitters coming back for Chelsea might help them in this game. Brentford's home form, as we mentioned, isn't great. They were unlucky against Newcastle during the week, not to get anything from that game. But I just feel Chelsea will click a little bit again, and it might start in this game. I think they're very much in the top four, top five picture. So I'm leaning, not against Milton this one, I'm leaning for Chelsea to win the game.
OK, well, Sunday's televised match at 2 o'clock is at Craven Cottage, where Fulham take on the leaders Liverpool. Fulham are 100-30 to claim the points here. The draw is 5-2 and Liverpool 5-6. I just wonder, Tom, how much that Merseyside derby might have taken out of Arne Slot's men.
Yeah, quite possibly. They really had to dig in, grind out the victory in the end. A physical and an emotionally draining match, as it always is. And an important victory for Liverpool as well, of course, off the back of exiting the Champions League, losing the Carabao Cup final to Newcastle. They just wanted to win that game just to make sure they still have that gap between themselves and Arsenal, with Arsenal having beaten Fulham the previous evening. This will be tricky, though, for Liverpool. Fulham drew at Anfield earlier in the season and are always a really tough side to beat. They've had a couple of disappointing results going out of the FA Cup and, as I mentioned, losing to Arsenal. But I think they'll keep this one competitive, and I think it might be reasonably open as well. I've gone with over 2.5 goals and both teams to score, which is odds against. Both teams to score has come in the last five meetings between the two sides. Four of those have featured three or more goals. And, yeah, I think it could be quite an open game. Liverpool unbeaten, as we know, away from home in the league this season. They've scored in all those games. They've scored two or more, in fact, in 13 of their 15 away league matches this season. So they can rack up the goals. Fulham have scored in 11 of their last 13 league games. I think it does point towards a pretty open contest. I'd lean towards Liverpool if I was going for a victor, of course, but I'm more interested in that goals market.
Milton, I just wonder whether the 24 hours extra that Fulham have had to prepare for this might have a bearing on Sunday's game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's certainly a tricky game for Liverpool, albeit that, you know, that win against Everton has eased the pressure. You know, obviously sitting pretty at the top of the table. And Fulham have been competitive throughout the season, really. I think really, really consistent. You know, that 3-0 cup defeat to Palace was a real shock, because they don't tend to get beaten by a wide margin in the league. Six of their nine defeats were by a single goal, obviously including the 2-1 loss at Arsenal. I think Liverpool to win by one goal looks the bet here. You know, Tom mentioned the 2-2 draw at Anfield. I mean, Liverpool had Andy Robertson sent off in the first 20 minutes there. So that was a decent result for them in the end, really. But yeah, they're just, you know, looking at their recent displays, they've been kind of grinding out the wins rather than blowing teams away. And I think against a really competent Fulham side, I think they're going to have to do that again. So Liverpool to win by a one-goal margin looks a decent bet.
Well, the other 2 o'clock game takes place between Tottenham and Southampton, and Spurs are 19-50 to claim the victory in this one. Saints 21-4, and the draw around 9-2. Milt, I know that, you know, you'd expect on paper that Tottenham will go on and win this game because of how the league standings are, but of course they've lost at home to the likes of Ipswich already this season. Could this be another potential banana skin for them?
That's it. I mean, they've lost at home to Ipswich and Leicester. So, you know, can Southampton complete the hat-trick for the teams who look as though they're going to be heading back to the Championship? I'm not so sure, actually. I mean, you know, obviously Tottenham have this game against Chelsea on Thursday. But I just think this fixture is the kind that's going to inspire them. And Tottenham to win in over 3.5 goals is the bet for me. I mean, just looking at the reverse fixture in December, they thrashed Southampton 5-0 at St Mary's. And that was during a terrible run of form for Spurs. I think they were on a run of 8 defeats in 10 games. And that was the kind of a rare triumph then. You know, their last league win was 4-1 at Ipswich. And you know, they obviously, for Spurs fans, they've not been winning regularly enough by any means this season. But when they do win, it's usually with a bit of style. And 7 of their 10 victories have featured over 3.5 goals. Yeah, I think Southampton, you know, another late disappointment there against Palace. You know, that was a tough blow, and yeah, I think they could get taken apart at Tottenham.
I suppose the bigger question here, Tom, is are they going to beat Derby's record? They're now on 10 points for the season, Saints, 1 point behind that Derby lowest Premier League tally. It's not looking too good at the moment after that late equaliser for Palace.
Yeah, I felt a little bit evil last night, where there was a slight smile on my face when that goal went in for Palace, because I kind of want the jeopardy of that lasting as long as possible. Will Southampton get beyond the 11-point mark? I think, in fairness to them, certainly as an attacking entity, they've improved over recent weeks. They've scored in 3 games in a row and in 5 of their last 6 away matches. That includes trips to Liverpool, Nottingham Forest and Manchester United. So I think they've got something about them going forward, and I think they can score at Tottenham. Spurs, we know all about their defensive issues and their, you know, the lack of cohesiveness at the back and a settled regular back four. So Southampton can get a goal in this game, but I do think Spurs will have too much for them and should be able to win the match. As Milt's mentioned, they thrashed Southampton 5-0 at St Mary's back in December. Worth noting, they've only won 3 of their 13 league games since then, and like we mentioned with Manchester United a little bit earlier, Spurs' focus is more on the Europa League than it is on the Premier League at this moment in time. But they should still have enough in the tank to get the victory.
There is a Monday night football to look forward to in this round of Premier League fixtures. It takes place at the King Power Stadium. Not sure how competitive it's going to be considering these two teams' recent form. Leicester against Newcastle. The Foxes 11-2 to claim the win. Newcastle 12-25 and the draw 16-5. I did wonder whether there was going to be a bit of after the Lord Mayor's show for Newcastle in midweek, Tom. I think there was a case of that a little bit because it was slightly fortunate to beat Brentford, but they've got that top four place well and truly in their sights now.
Yeah, and although they were fortunate against Brentford, I think after winning the League Cup, it could work in a different manner for Newcastle for the remainder of the season. Give them that boost, that belief, that winner's mentality that they can get over the line and finish in the top four in the Premier League. This is certainly a favourable fixture for them. I actually think Leicester are a worse team than Southampton. They certainly have been over recent weeks, and at home in particular, it really, really makes for grim reading for Ruud van Nistelrooy and his side. They've lost 7 in a row at home in the league without scoring. All of those defeats have been by at least a 2-goal margin. You throw in the away games as well. They've lost 14 of their last 15 at top flight matches, only winning at Spurs during that run. I think Newcastle can win this at a canter, if I'm being truthful. I've gone with Newcastle with a minus one handicap. They won the reverse meeting between the two sides 4-0 back in December. They won their last league visit to the King Power 3-0 in December 2022. Something similar, I think, will occur in this game. And it might be one where on Monday night you can switch off at half-time because the result's already confirmed.
And there might be a few Leicester fans switching off before the start of the game, to be honest with you, the way that they're playing at the moment. I just wonder, Milts, what Steve Cooper's thinking at the moment, sat back watching this and probably going, well, we were outside the bottom three when he decided to sack me. And as Tom said, there's some signs of improvement from Southampton. Arguably, you could say there are no signs of improvement for Leicester.
That's it. I mean, it's a pretty stark stat, isn't it? Those 14 defeats in 15 games. You know, Van Nistelrooy had a very, very brief honeymoon period at Leicester. I think they beat West Ham, didn't they? But West Ham had kind of 30 plus shots in that game. So even then, kind of possibly the writing was on the wall. And then, you know, Tom mentioned that 4-0 defeat at St James's Park. That sparked this horror run for them. I mean, it's a difficult one because, you know, Newcastle should get the job done fairly easily. One stat that leapt out at me was that six of Leicester's last 12 defeats they've been level at half time. So, you know, maybe the kind of fitness levels aren't quite up there and they get picked apart after the break. Now, that included games against Liverpool, Arsenal, Aston Villa and Chelsea. So, you know, we're kind of looking for optimism for Foxes fans. Maybe they can keep it tight until half time. So the draw Newcastle double result at around 7-2 is the one for me. But yeah, it's not looking good for Leicester.
Well, that wraps up the Premier League action then for this weekend. Up next is the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, our EFL match in focus this week is in League Two. It's a massive game at the top of the table as two of the top three go head-to-head. Walsall against Port Vale is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. As far as the prices are concerned, Walsall 23-20 to claim the victory. It's 5-2 Port Vale and 21-10 the draw. I mean, the title, firstly, Tom, is still way up for grabs now in League Two, and nobody probably thought that three or four months ago when Walsall were well clear.
No, in January, Walsall looked like it was just a case of when they were going to be handed the League Two title, not if. That's no longer the case. I mean, I'm calling it the Nathan Lowe conundrum for Walsall, because since he was recalled from his loan spell by Stoke in January, it really has just hit the buffers, so to speak, for Walsall. They've won three of their 16 league games since Lowe returned to Stoke. And yeah, that sizable gap they had at the top of the standings, I think it was 12 points at one point, has almost completely disappeared. And if they lose this game on Saturday, then they will be knocked off their perch at the top of the standings. Port Vale can go above them. And I do fancy Port Vale in the draw no bet market is what I'm looking at in this game, because, you know, whilst Walsall have been slipping and stuttering, Port Vale have put together a pretty decent run of form. They've only lost two of 17 games this calendar year. And although away from home, they haven't won too many matches, they have picked up important results. They've won at promotion rivals Doncaster and at Crewe in their last away game. And they backed up that Crewe victory in midweek by beating another of their promotion rivals, Bradford, 2-0 on home soil. So I think momentum is with Darren Moore's side. The reason I'm looking at the draw no bet market rather than an all-out Vale victory is because Walsall, although they're not winning, they've not lost that many either. Mm-hmm. No win in eight, but six of those have been drawn, including their last four. And they've got draws with Wimbledon and Doncaster, two of the promotion contenders in their last two games. So Walsall can make it difficult for Port Vale, but I do aside, if there's going to be a winner in this game, I can only really see it being the away team.
Well, Bradford are the other team, of course, in the top three who are looking to try and win the title as well. They're at home to Crewe on Saturday. So if it's a draw between Walsall and Port Vale, Bradford could take full advantage and go top of the table. It really is going to be a fascinating end to the League Two season. Time now to get three main EFL selections from Tom for this week's games. And where are we starting here, Tom?
Yeah, I think I picked out a decent trio this week. There looks to be some value. The first one, I'm looking in the Championship, and it's for Millwall to beat Portsmouth on home soil. Millwall just about still have a squeak of getting into the playoff positions. They're 6 points off the top six heading in to the weekend. They've only lost one of their previous five at home. The record at the Den before that was patchy, but they look like they're getting it together now. They've beaten QPR and Stoke during that time, two teams in and around Portsmouth in the table. But really, it's Portsmouth's away record that sells this, really, for me. They've only won two of their 19 away league games this season, 10 of their 45 points. That's it, have come on their travels. And they've lost 10 of their last 11 games in all competitions as well. So for me, there's real value in going with a Millwall home victory.
OK, well, Millwall, the first selection then to beat Portsmouth. Who's pick number two?
Yeah, in League One, a similar vibe. Charlton to win on home soil against Lincoln. Charlton absolutely flying at the moment. Could potentially gate crash the top two and secure automatic promotion. They've won eight in a row at home, conceding just two goals during that run. And in their last home fixture, they thrashed Huddersfield 4-0, albeit a Huddersfield side that are severely stuttering in their own playoff push. But it's still an impressive result for Nathan Jones's side. Lincoln coming into this game in mid-table, nothing really left to play for, and they've lost three in a row and four of their last five away from home. So, yeah, for me, a Charlton victory appeals.
OK, so we've got one Championship, one League One selection. Where are we looking for pick three?
Yeah, sticking in League One as well. And again, a trio of home victories really in this. And I'm fancying Peterborough to beat Northampton on their own patch. Peterborough still have a little bit of work to do to ensure survival in League One, but they're much, much improved. They've only lost one of their last 10 in all competitions, and they're unbeaten in eight on home soil. So Darren Ferguson, well, there was speculation regarding his future earlier in the campaign, but he's managed to turn things around. They've got an EFL Trophy final to look forward to against Birmingham later this month as well. So a bit of a feel-good factor for Peterborough. Northampton also still need points to survive. They're seven above the bottom four, but the side in fourth bottom position at the moment, Burton, do have a game in hand. So Kevin Nolan's team need to pick up some victories, but I think they're going to struggle against a Peterborough side who are in form. Peterborough beat Northampton 3-0 in the EFL Trophy back in December, and they expect them to win this game as well.
OK, well, that's Tom's EFL selections then for this week. Just a reminder of Millwall, Charlton and Peterborough. Up next, it's Miltz's chance with the Bet Builder. So, James, we're looking at a Premier League clash this week. I think we're looking at the game at Villa Park, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've spoken about this game earlier. Looks at an intriguing one. And yeah, the first selection for the Bet Builder is Nottingham Forest will draw double chance against Aston Villa. You know, Forest really well set up away from home. Only team to beat Liverpool at Anfield this season in the Premier League. And you know, on a solid run of form, no signs of running out of steam, despite the injury to Chris Wood. You know, they're unbeaten in six games, and that includes fixtures against Arsenal, both Manchester clubs, and Brighton in the FA Cup. So, you know, Villa have won their last six, but as I mentioned earlier, they've had a really soft set of fixtures during that run. And I think, you know, Wednesday's Champions League trip to PSG is going to be a bit of a distraction for them. So yeah, Nottingham Forest will draw double chance is the first selection. Then on a similar theme, I'm going for under 2.5 goals. You know, Forest so strong defensively. You know, we mentioned Villa's attack being pepped up in January, but just think Forest are a really tough nut to crack. Under 2.5 goals has been a winner in five of their last six games. That includes a couple of 1-0 wins and a couple of 0-0 draws. And Villa's defence has also improved recently with five clean sheets in their last six. So yeah, I think it's going to be quite a cagey affair, this one. And to complete the Bet Builder, Nikola Milenkovic to have one or more shots. I think I'm contractually obliged as a sports journalist to refer to him as the towering centre-back for Forest. you know, he's been a terrific addition to the squad. started 29 of Forest's 30 Premier League matches this season. So you've got a decent sample size there. And he's averaging not a massive target for any set pieces. His last 10 away appearances, he's had 14 efforts at goal. And that includes trips to Arsenal, Manchester City, Manchester United and Newcastle. So yeah, I expect him to trouble the Villa defence at set piece situations. And that bet builder pays around 11-2, I think.
Okay, well, that's James's bet builder then for this week's Aston Villa Nottingham Forest clash. And I think you've got a couple of prop shop options for us as well, James.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm going for Carlos Alcaraz of Everton to score or assist a goal against Arsenal. Just feel that if Everton do get on the score sheet, then this guy's likely to be involved in some way. You know, showed some real attacking intent since arriving in January. Caught the eye again at Anfield. You know, Everton only have 5 shots against Liverpool, and he had 3 of them. You know, on his first start for Everton was at Crystal Palace, and he scored one and made another goal. And yeah, he's really impressed whenever he's been unleashed by David Moyes. You know, we mentioned earlier Arsenal's defensive injury problems. So, you know, their standards at the back may not be quite as high as we've come to expect. And Alcaraz's shot stats have really caught the eye as well. He had 5 attempts in that game at Palace, another 5 in the draw at Brentford. So, you know, if Everton are to break through against Arsenal, then I think he could be the man.
OK, and the second of the prop shot picks, James?
Yeah, we're back to Villa Park again for this one. Nico Williams to be booked, Forest right back. He's been cautioned in his last 2 games against Brighton in the Cup and against United in midweek. He made 5 tackles in that game against Manchester United. That's 3 more than any of his teammates. I think just looking at the quality and array of Aston Villa's wide players, I think he could be in for another busy shift on Saturday. Before the booking against United at the City Ground, Williams' last 6 yellow cards had all come away from home. That's for Forest and for Wales. And yeah, I think he may struggle to stay out of trouble this weekend.
Okay, well, that's James's prop shop selections then. Time to move on to the assist treble and the naps. And we'll start with a treble. And Tom, we'll start with your pick first.
Yeah, I've looked at that League One game between Peterborough and Northampton. Peterborough vastly improved, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. They beat Northampton 3-0 earlier in the season. In the last home game, they beat high-flying Charlton, another team we referenced earlier on. So Peterborough in great form. Northampton, they're pretty decent on the road, but they've only won 1 of their last 8 at home or away across all competitions. So for me, there's plenty of value in siding with a Peterborough home win.
It's the posh then for Tom. James, who are you selecting for the assist treble?
Yeah, I'm going for Brentford or draw double chance against Chelsea. Just looking at Chelsea's away form, you know, their only win in their last 9 on the road came against Copenhagen in the Conference League. And I think Brentford's probably results haven't quite done them justice in recent weeks. You know, we've mentioned they were a little hard done by at Newcastle. You know, they're unfortunate to lose at home to Tottenham and Villa recently as well. And I think they'll be bang up for this clash with their West London rivals.
OK, and I'm going to go with Bristol City to beat Watford in the Championship at around about 3-4 here. Bristol City have lost just 1 of the last 8, and that came against Burnley at Turf Moor last time out. We know how good Burnley are at the moment. They've lost just 1 of the last 11 league games at Ashton Gate as well. And Watford, who I've seen a couple of times recently, beaten by Millwall at home and then drew with Plymouth last time, have looked like they're just not cohesive at all. I don't think that Chakvadadze, their main man, is fully fit at the moment as well, and that is causing problems. Watford have won just 1 of the last 5, and they've won 4 of 19 away league matches this season. So I'm plumping for Bristol City, and if you throw in double chance Brentford and Peterborough, that makes up the assist treble. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps from James and Tom. James, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm heading to La Liga for mine. Valencia +2 on the handicap against Real Madrid. Now, kind of on paper, this looks a little counterintuitive. Valencia haven't won in La Liga on the road all season. They've been in quite solid form recently. Only defeats in their last 11 came against Barcelona and Atletico Madrid. And in January's reverse fixture, they were 1-0 up until the 85th minute against Real and ended up losing 2-1. I just think that the timing of this game probably suits Valencia. You know, Real were taken to extra time in the Copa del Rey, a kind of 4-4 draw against Real Sociedad on Tuesday. And obviously they've got the Champions League first leg away to Arsenal coming up as well. So yeah, I think Valencia can stay in the game this weekend. So yeah, you're wanting them to lose by one goal margin or obviously draw or win, and that's a winning bet.
Okay, well, that's Miltz's nap pick. Tom, what's your nap for the week?
Yeah, I do quite like that for Valencia. I've gone down the handicap route as well. Newcastle -1 handicap to win at Leicester. I mean, Leicester, as we've alluded to, are really awful. For me, the worst team in the Premier League currently. They lose every time they play at home. They don't score. They concede more than one goal. It's all pointing towards Newcastle winning this game by a couple of goals at least. They won 4-0 in the reverse fixture at St. James's Park. So, yeah, for me, that's the most banker of a result, if you like, of the entire weekend.
Okay, well, all that remains to be said is my thanks to both James and Tom. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. Particularly interested in your thoughts on next week's Champions League quarterfinals ahead of Monday's assist show. Let us know how you feel those games will go. It's a big time, of course, for sport at this time of the year with the Grand National this weekend. And there's plenty of video content across the Racing Post channels ahead of the big race at Aintree. And if you like it, golf, don't miss the Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer every Tuesday. Next week, it'll be all about the first major of the year, of course, the Masters at Augusta. We'll be back on Monday for the European Assist Show ahead of those Champions League quarterfinals. In the meantime, enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.